The following Wheat Among the Tares program has been pre-recorded. Well, a good morning to you, and I want to welcome you to Wheat Among the Tares, our program here from the studios of Gethsemane Global Radio in Lexington, South Carolina. I want to thank you for joining us here this morning for this edition of Wheat Among the Tares. We have a special guest here with us this morning. He is not a stranger by any stretch of the imagination when it comes to visiting us here at Wheat Among the Tares. But it's been a little while since we have had him on board, and he is Pastor Mike Wanzer. Brother Wanzer is currently ministering on the island of Oahu in Hawaii. And Brother Mike Wanzer, I want to welcome you to Wheat Among the Tares this morning. Aloha.
Aloha.
Good to have you with us, my brother, and a blessing to have you aboard. I know that our listeners, I've had some listeners, Brother Mike, ask about, they knew that you were in Hawaii, and they knew of the latest incidents as far as the fires there. And I know with our listeners, they want to find out immediately about how, number one, the fires on Maui have impacted not only the island of Maui, and maybe you could address that for us initially, and then the island of Oahu where you are. Brother, how much of an effect, as we have read things here, you're closer, you're much more privy to information there. How has that, number one, affected the island of Maui? What do you see from where you are and how that's affected them?
We still have fires that are burning on the island of Maui. They're almost contained, but they're still burning, and not just on the west side, which is the city of Lahaina, which was 15,000 people, and the entire city is leveled. And also in the upcountry, going up towards the mountain, and that burned several hundred acres. And so we have a lot of humanitarian aid, but we have a lot of displaced people and people that thought that life was just going to be okay all the time. And they're still searching for loved ones. There's 1,000 people unaccounted for. There's 119 that are confirmed that are deceased. And so there's a lot of people that are searching for answers right now.
Wow. I cannot imagine, as you well said, things that are, quote, life is good on the islands of Hawaii, and then a major impact like this that occurs. And I saw a headline, Brother Mike, the other day that stipulated or said, in essence, that the judgment of God had come because of a recent decision by the governor there concerning his stand on abortion. And that's conjecture. But at the same time, you have got to look at this from the standpoint of the Bible says that God has his way in the storm. And things that like this occur, Mike, when people come to you and they have questions concerning that, and especially those that may have lost loved ones, to deal with that particular question, I know it's difficult. How do you handle that from just a pastoral standpoint?
I take them through scripture, and I take them through how God has dealt with the nation of Israel, and looking throughout the Old Testament, and also looking at passages in the New Testament. And I tell them I'm not God, and I don't understand this, but I also know that in a state where abortion is and people traveling here for abortion is invited, and pretty much anything that can be dreamt of that is ungodly, demonic, or is against God. When that's celebrated, then there's there's no way that the protection of God could be here, and there's no way that God can just allow things to go on without some judgment happening.
Absolutely, and we're seeing that here in the mainland as well. Things going on with regard to fires in the northwest, storms on both coasts, and just a lot of things that are occurring. And brother, we cannot deny the fact that the ungodliness of men warrants the judgment of God. And we certainly can't say anything against that, nor would we say anything against that, because it's the righteous judgment of God. But I do know that out of that comes suffering, both for the righteous and the unrighteous. And I do know that when things like this happen, Brother Mike, it's a time for works like you have there at Aloha Nui Baptist Church, which, by the way, I know you're pastoring now. It's a new work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a time to reach out to people and to try to help them during this time of affliction. Tell us a little bit. Have you had opportunity to be able to serve any situation concerning the Maui fires? And I know you mentioned earlier to me that there's a great potential even on the island now of Oahu that similar things could happen.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Things are really dry here on our island as well. Just yesterday, I noticed fire trucks that were in school, in the schoolyards, and they were hosing down the grass there to protect the students. But I would say that in this last week and a half from since the fires in Maui, there's a lot of people asking questions. Are we in the end times? You know, why is this happening? And we never expected it. And can you help give me some answers? And man, that is a really, really good opportunity. Yes. Things that I've prayed for, because in our islands, because we have the warm season and then we have the wet season, we don't really have people that are preparing for the cold winter, and there's not a lot of new construction going on, so it's just everything's kind of mellow. It is just the way it is. And when I have conversations with people about the gospel, majority of the time they would just say, I'm okay, you know, I'll let you know when I need some help. And right now people, they're looking for more than just some water bottles or, you know, a place to stay. They're looking for answers because they're numb and they're trying to figure out, what's happening and what's their next step. And they're reevaluating some of their decisions in their lives,
which is a great thing because of the fact that it causes men to think and to contemplate not only how brief our life is here and how quickly it can be gone, and then to get them to think about the eternal things. And Brother Mike, I can't think of a better, it took some, obviously some desperate circumstances in this situation that you cannot deny that God has allowed to occur. But again, out of this, God can show his mercy to those that earnestly and with their whole heart seek his face and can find the answers that they're needing. And I can't think of a better way than for your church to be right in the middle of that and being able to minister and answer questions for those that come to you. Brother, I know that the involvement, again, of those that are asking questions, I know you have a big ministry with regard to the homeless and the houseless there.
Yes, sir.
Can you update us as far as that and how, correlation-wise, how that the recent fires have maybe even further impacted that particular ministry?
Yes, sir. Well, I've always had a heart for the houseless or the homeless. When I was younger, I lived under a bridge for a couple of years, and so I deeply care you know, for people who are displaced. And we've had, well, I got a story of excitement and a story of some heartache. So excitement, we had three different people that we worked with who in the past 2 months have been able to get jobs. They actually ended up moving off the island, going to the mainland, and they're rejoined with their family, but now they have a house, they have a job. Obviously, I've led them to the Lord and I've discipled them, and now they're starting Bible studies in their homes.
Bless the Lord.
And so, yeah, I miss them, but I'm so happy that we got to have the opportunity, you know, to see that come to fruition. At the same time, in the last 2 weeks, I've had three different people that I really care about that are in heaven now. And these are houseless people. One person passed away from lung cancer. His name was Machete Mike. He's a person I led to Christ. And then the other one was just on life support, and their family had to pull the plug. And the third one actually came to our door after she was assaulted 2 weeks ago, and she ended up passing away on the way to the hospital. We were the last people to be able to have a conversation with her and pray for her, and you know call the ambulance. And she had been assaulted just two blocks from our house,
brother. And that that type of ministry, it's a 24/7 thing. I can imagine, especially. And I remember some comments you made back a year and a half ago when we first talked to you about this and how you were involved. Brother, I want you to do me a favor, if you would. I want you to go back. You mentioned something a while ago, and I don't know if we've addressed it in the previous conversation we had with you, but you mentioned you lived under a bridge for a couple of years. Can you share that with us as far as how, what happened, you know, to the, you know, within limits, and how God so burdened your heart because it's something you personally went through?
Yes, sir. Well, I grew up in my earliest years, just my family lived in a van, and we traveled from place to place. And then I was taken away from my biological family and put into a foster home. I ended up being in six different foster homes. And then I was adopted, and then my adopted parents got divorced, and then they, because I was not a very happy child, told me to leave. And so I didn't have a place to live. So in the city of Portland, Oregon, I lived under a bridge for a couple of years, and I went to the soup kitchen. I went and tried to work. I was 14 to 16 years old. And so I did everything that I could to try to survive. It was very, very cold there. And, I didn't know Jesus. In fact, I had never heard of the Bible. I had never heard of God. No one had ever shared the gospel with me. And, it was during that time when I was almost 16 years old that somebody looked at me I had a green mohawk and I had a shirt that was devil worshiping music group, and they just looked at me and they shared the gospel with me, and then after that they discipled me and they helped me realize that a life with Jesus Christ obviously was much better than what I was doing at that time. But I felt so loved, and I felt so cared for by Christ and the person that led me to Christ, that I thought there's nothing else in the world that I want to do the rest of my life but share what that person shared with me.
Amen. And I get a picture in my mind, Brother Mike, if I can so say so, a young man, 16 years old, with a green mohawk and a t-shirt that was probably offensive to everybody that walked by and then some, and somebody, I assume it was a man, came up and just took a chance and started talking to you. And out of that chance came the conversion of Mike Wanzer. And God so used that to stir your heart. And here you are so many years later on the island. I know you were in the Philippines for a number of years. And now you're in on the island of Oahu, or Oahu in the state of Oahu. And here God is using you. I can't help but just be excited, because our listeners are probably got this picture in their mind too, as I was just describing this, and how that oftentimes, Brother Mike, somebody in appearance just like you would, they would tend to shy away and look at that and say, well, there's no hope for that. Why bother? And yet somebody bothered. And Brother Mike, I can't help but just rejoice in whoever that individual was. I rejoice that they took the chance and they reached out. And how much should that challenge our hearts in our daily walk to not give up on just what we see, but rather follow the Lord's leadership as to speaking to people, because they, Brother Mike, as you said, they need the Lord just like you did. And what a glory. That's a blessing, brother. Thank you so much for sharing that. And now I know why you have so much more of an interest in the homeless and the houseless when it comes to the ministry there. Any other aspects of the homeless ministry before we change gears? Anything else you'd like to relate about what's going on with that? Anything we could pray for concerning that?
Yes, actually, you can pray for a man named Richard that I'm discipling right now, and he's a veteran, and a lot of the houseless here are veterans. They remember what it was like to serve in the military, and then they come back. Things have changed a lot since they were serving, and also the cost of living is higher, and maybe they don't have the the resources or the connections to get a job, and it doesn't happen as quickly as they thought it would. And so my goal in reaching the houseless, number one obviously is to give them the gospel. And there are a lot of things that I could also add to that. But I think, here lately, as I've been walking through life, haven't always had the ability to feed people the way that I did before. And I haven't always had the ability to take care of maybe the natural things, but that stirred up something in me. I believe it's Acts chapter 3. When Peter said to the layman that was laying at the gates of the temple, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And I think that in some of us tend to lean on things that are easier for us to minister to people, and when we're pressed, God gives a new passion and a new excitement and a new focus as we're sharing the gospel with more boldness and as we're putting more energy into discipling people.
And brother, that's certainly something that is sorely needed in this day and age, discipleship. Of just taking people, number one, taking the chance, taking the risk and reaching out. And number two, then once they come to know the Lord, then there's that time period where you need to foster and help them to know the Lord and to get grounded and settled. If you're just joining us, folks, we're talking with Pastor Mike Wanzer. He is the pastor of Aloha Nui Baptist Church on the island of Oahu in Hawaii. And Brother Wanzer has been sharing with us not only just what happened in Maui and the impact of the fires there and the potential of what could happen in Oahu because things are very dry there. And Brother Mike, I will branch out to say that we will certainly be praying that that doesn't happen, but yet these things are within the hands of the Lord and in His will, and things that He can bring upon a people, as you said earlier, that can cause them to question and to think about how life is, quote, so good, and it can change so very quickly. Brother Mike, let's turn another aspect of this, and I want to, I know you have some impact with regard to the military there, and there's a large military contingency there. And during our previous conversation from a year and a half ago, you mentioned that you have some opportunities to minister to the military there. Tell us a little bit about that. And you mentioned you have some that are actually attending worship services there with you. Give us some info concerning that.
Yes, sir. Well, we're blessed to have bases here. We have Army, Air Force, we have Navy, and we have Marines, and we also have the Space Force. And we have people who come and worship with us, that some drive an hour to come over from each of those branches, except for the Space Force. And we also have had people that have worshiped with us in the past and that we've led to the Lord and baptized, and we discipled them, that have now moved on, which is a happy, sad day for us, because I think of Andrew and Joey, who are in California now, and they were here with us for the entire time that we've lived here, and all the things that we taught them, they took those, and immediately when they moved to California, they started a Bible study there on their base, and then they were looking for a local church in their area, and it took them a little while. And so while they were doing that, they were ministering to people, and they did a Bible study in their home, and then now they've linked up with someone to continue getting discipled over there. So we always have a new batch of personnel that'll rotate through here all the time, because most people are here for 3 years at a time and then get transferred somewhere else.
Well, and I know that you are ministering to the world through these military personnel that come through, and then they, as you said, they get shipped out, and they carry with them what they learn there. And brother, that is certainly that's a great ministry in and of itself. And I'm thankful the Lord has given you that opportunity. As we come down toward the close of our program here this morning, I did not want to neglect, first of all, last of all, really, asking about, I know your family is there, wife, two daughters, and a son, and I know they're very well involved in the ministry there, and that was one of the things when you came through Gethsemane a few years ago, and I just remember meeting your wife and your children, and how much they were involved in the ministry there, not only the Philippines, but now in Hawaii. They were very excited about going. Fill us in real quickly how they are doing, what they're involved in, and then we will take a moment just to take a couple of prayer requests. We'll pray for this one, and if you have anything else. But tell us real quickly about your family and how they're doing.
Okay. Well, my wife's doing well. If you can pray for her, she had a foot injury last year, and she's been doing hyperbaric treatment. She's been doing intravenous IV antibiotics to be able to save part of the joint in her foot and also the toe. And so she's been a trooper. She's gone back and forth to the hospital, and she's prayed with people and helped encourage one particular man who is the doctor there, was just a very, very bitter and angry Christian. And we've been able to pray with him and encourage him and help him to deal with some unforgiveness. And then my eldest daughter, Dixie Mae, she's 19, and she will be married on November the 11th. And her fiance is from the island here, about 40 minutes south of us. His dad is a pastor. Also reaches the houseless and people that are in addictions. And then our youngest daughter, Annabelle, she just turned 18. And keep praying for her. She loves God with all of her heart. And right now she's been doing some medical training to be able to care for people. And then my youngest child, which is my son Landon, he's probably the reason why a lot of people come and worship with us, because he just loves people, and everywhere he goes, he's going to have a large group of friends around him, and he's really well accepted here in Hawaii. He tells them, you know, I'm American, but also Filipino, because I was in the Philippines and all these mosquitoes were biting me, so I get Filipino blood and also American.
Oh, that's a good line, brother. I remember him as, and I remember you described him as just being incessant when it came to inviting people to church, and just his excitement alone. And obviously that's still carrying on.
Yes, sir.
Well, Brother Mike Wanzer, I want to thank you for sharing with us today. And I want to take time, and if you're listening this morning here on Wheat Among the Tares, as we always do, as our custom here, we always take a moment to pray with those that we have opportunity to interview. And certainly the ministry there on Oahu in Hawaii, and Brother Mike Wanzer and the folks at Aloha Nui Baptist Church, we want to pray for them. And so let's take a moment to pray with, pray to the Lord for them, and pray with us, if you would. Our Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to Brother Mike Wanzer this morning. I have enjoyed this immensely, and I trust, Lord, that our listeners have greatly benefited from what they have heard, and it greatly will inform them of how better to pray for this ministry there. Lord, I thank you for every outreach that you have allowed Brother Wanzer to have there. Lord, just with the recent fires and having an opportunity to speak to people. Lord, for the homeless and the houseless ministry there, and certainly, Lord, the heart that you've given to Brother Mike for that. And Lord, for the health of his family. I think of his wife right now and the things she's experiencing with this foot situation. Lord, I pray, according to your will, that you would heal. And Lord, give her strength. I pray, Lord, for his two daughters, the one getting married. I certainly pray for that wedding. And Lord, for Landon and for Annabelle, that you would greatly use them. And I thank you, Lord, just for their heart toward the ministry there. And Lord, I remember that so very, very well. I pray for Brother Mike's health as well. Lord, strengthen him much. And thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity to speak to him here today. Bless him, I pray. Lord, bless the work. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll give you thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Mike Wanzer, Aloha Nui Baptist Church, Oahu, Hawaii. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning on Wheat Among the Tares. It has been a blessing to have you, my brother.
Yes, sir, and thank you for your prayers.
God bless you, my brother. You have a wonderful day in the Lord.
Okay, you too. Aloha.
And I want to thank you for joining us this morning here on Wheat Among the Tares. It's been our pleasure to have you aboard. Thank you for being a regular listener. Pray for us here, and have a wonderful day in the Lord.